Good morning. How are you?
Now it's going out. What happened to it?
Hello, hello, hello. What's up with the mics? Hello, hello. Medard, what did you do? Hello, hello, hello. There I am. Yay. I know. I usually wear the little lapel mic, and it's got a short in it. So now they give me this. And y'all, I use my hands a lot. So just bear with me. It'll be okay. So after everything that's happened this week, an emotional roller coaster of a week, God has really brought to my attention, how are you living your life? Are you living a meaningful life? And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, are you living a meaningful life? We've been studying the book of Acts for the last few weeks, month, 2 months. I'm not sure how we've been in it, but this is the last sermon from the book of Acts. And we're going to be in Acts chapter 20 today. But I just want us to look at, are you living a meaningful life? Are you living a life that's making an impact for the kingdom? If you're not, then you're not doing what God's asked you to do. So how can you live a meaningful life? What are the essential qualities you need to fulfill your life in a meaningful way? Do you have to get married? Do you have to have a certain type of career? Do you have to have a certain money in your account? You know, or do you need popularity with people? What do you think is a definition of a meaningful life? But according to Scripture, none of these types of things are essential for a meaningful life. Marriage, careers, money, and even influence can all be added blessings from God, but that's not what makes your life meaningful. None of these will leave you joyful and have a meaningful life. So we're going to look at what we can do to have that. So again, as we conclude our study on Acts, we're going to be looking at Paul again in Acts chapter 20, like I said. You know, Paul was probably the greatest church planter and pastor that ever lived. You know, he's one of my favorite people in the Bible just because of his conversion from Saul to Paul and how God was able to use him. And here in Acts 20, he's at the end of his third missionary journey. And so he's on his way to Jerusalem. And although he doesn't think he has time to meet with those people in Ephesus, he has the elders and leaders of the church come to him. So we're going to start reading. We're going to read verses 19 through 24, and then I'm going to kind of break those up. But as we go through these verses, we're going to get a glimpse of how Paul lived his life. And then we're going to see what we can learn about living a meaningful life through Paul. So let's read verses 19 through 24. I have done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. I have endured the trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. I've had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and of having faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I am bound by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. So let's now start at verse 19, at the very beginning. Paul says, I have done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. You know, Paul always saw himself as a servant. And I think that is an important mental attitude for everyone to have, every Christian to have, not just those in ministry, although we are technically all in ministry if you're a Christian. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's kind of how he looked at himself, and that's how we as Christians should look at ourselves, that we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, everything that Paul did was for the glory of God. It shouldn't have anything to do with the glory of man, which it did not. For whatever I do, word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And that's exactly how Paul lived. He wasn't seeking pleasure for man. He was seeking to please the Lord, knowing that the Lord would eventually reward him for his work. So we should be the same way. You know, we should not do things in order to get a pat on the back or to get recognition. We should do it for the Lord. We should be the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as Paul was. Paul didn't act like a religious celebrity, and he expected people to serve and honor him. He didn't expect that. He wanted people to serve and honor God. He just wanted to serve the Lord with humility. He wanted to work humbly, although not always easy. As Christians, we have to work hard for the Lord, even when met with opposition. And if you're a Christian and you say you've never met opposition, then something's not right. Something's not quite right there. We must continue running the race that God has set before us. We must not falter, but we continue toward God, doing his work even when there are setbacks, even when people try to stop us, even when we feel we're at the end of our rope. It's funny, though. When we're at the end of our rope, God's right there at the end of the rope. He's there to help you. And so then the verse continues and it says, and with many tears. As Paul was the minister of the gospel, he did everything with feeling. He deeply felt for people and their salvation. He wept over their condition when he would see them go astray and in danger of perishing. And you know, as a pastor myself, I feel the same way. I can't tell you how many times I've heard stories of people suffering in our church, and I've wept and I've cried and I've prayed over you. And not just a minister should do that. It should be your whole community of believers that do that. But it's so very important that we are so connected that when we see somebody crying, we're crying with them. Or we're going up to them and like, what's wrong? What's going on? Or take them to the side, you know. So that's very important. So Paul did that. He did that with many tears. He did it with compassion. So the first thing that we can learn from Paul here is about living a meaningful life is live a life full of humility and compassion. Humility and compassion. Serve the Lord with all humility in mind. Meaning, whenever you're preaching the gospel, telling the gospel to somebody, being conscious of your own weaknesses, your own insignificance in yourself for the service. I am no better than anybody else. I don't know why God called me to be a pastor, but he did. But I'm no better than Randy. I am no better than Stephanie. I'm no better than anybody else. It's all him. I question it a lot. I'm like, Lord, are you sure? but it is all him. Has nothing to do with me. And so we have to use our gifts for him, but we have to do it in a humble way. And then, like I said, and with compassion. You know, you have to care about the people that you're serving. And again, not just because I'm a minister, but as a Christian, you should care, truly care about those people in your circle, in your life. Have compassion for them. When they hurt, you hurt. When they cry, you cry. And if you don't, then you can kind of look at yourself a little bit. So very important. This walk that Paul did, it amazes me when you know his backstory and what he did before he came Paul. But to hear and read through these verses and to hear how he poured himself into it, he was humble and compassionate. So let's continue with the second part of verse 19 there. It says, I have endured the trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. So we don't know exactly what the Jews in Ephesus did to Paul. We have no idea. He just knows that he has trials. But we know just from their rejection of his message that they, of course, didn't like him. And they might have tortured him. They might have, who knows what they did to him. You know, he wrote to the Romans when he was in Ephesus, saying he would rather forfeit his own salvation than watch his kinsmen reject their Messiah. Now, that's compassion and love, that he would forfeit his own instead of watching his kinsmen reject the Messiah. Paul, he had significant troubles with the Jews from around Ephesus when he was in Jerusalem. Those who were hardened against his ministry did not believe the gospel that he preached. spoke evil of it and lay in wait to take away his life. And again, going back to his old life, isn't that what he did before he became Paul? You know, didn't he reject the gospel because he thought what he was believing, what he was doing was right? So it kind of came back around to him that he kind of had to suffer the way that he had suffered, you know, made others suffer. Paul survived all the trials to continue to preach the gospel. Paul continued to do what God called him to do regardless. So here we're going to see, here's another thing we can learn. We should live a life of serving even when times are hard. And when times are hard, what do we want to do? Run. Go back in our house. You know, suffering is an expected part of the Christian life. Jesus told his followers in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Just like Elizabeth said, you know, we know who wins. I mean, that's already written. We know who wins. We just got to get through the trouble. Read the back of the book. That's right. You know, in school, I would read the front of the book and the back of the book and then write a paper on it. So I read, sorry, it's a little side note. you know, I always knew what the end was going to be, but sorry. But yes, we could read the back of the book of Revelations and know who's overcome the world. The truth about overcoming sustenance Christians when suffering threatens to overwhelm. Christians suffer for a variety of reasons, including many of the same reasons non-Christians suffer. Life on this broken planet can be difficult. Christians may also suffer for some of the same reasons Jesus did. Believers represent an uncompromising truth that the world does not want to hear about Jesus. Christ is the only path to God, and we must continue to serve even when times are hard. And it's at those times when it's hard, when you've got somebody from your past comes around, gives you a call out of the blue. You know, it brings back all that old stuff that you're trying to put away. And the devil just tries to get in, and the devil only needs a little bit, just a little bit to get in. So just be careful. Always be on guard. Always know that you're going to be in hard times, and if you're not, they're coming. Because unfortunately, that's just the way this life is. So let's continue reading in verse 20. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. So Paul came to Ephesus to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ among them, and he had been faithful. He was a very plain preacher. There wasn't anything fancy about him. He just delivered the message so that it could be understood. I would have loved to have heard him, because I like plain and something I can understand. So I'm sure he was awesome. He did not amuse them with nice speculations, but he showed them the plain truth, which were of the greatest consequence and importance, and taught them as children are taught. He preached the gospel and told them what they needed to hear, whether they liked it or not. A good preacher is going to do that. They're going to step on your toes. In a good way, in a loving way. But if preachers don't step on your toes, how are they going to keep you in line? So I believe that Paul did that. Paul could solemnly say before these elders of the Ephesian church that he kept back nothing that was helpful. He didn't only teach the topics that pleased him, he proclaimed it all. He testified to the Jews and to the Greeks. If Paul didn't limit his message, he didn't limit his audience either. He wanted to preach all the word of God to all people. And that's something we have to remember. The gospel's just not for us. You know, I'm hoping that everyone that walked in that door today is a Christian. So, you know, we shouldn't limit ourselves to just this. Paul didn't limit himself to just Jews or to just Greeks. So we need to understand that Our mission is outside these walls. So he went from house to house, and he, you know, was also teaching them there. You know, probably each elder had charge over a particular house church. These were much more like house church pastors than what we think of today as board of elders who preside over the large congregation. So the elders that we talked about earlier were like Like, we have our little small groups. They were like the leaders of those small groups. And so Paul went not only in the churches and told them what they should and should not do, but he also went house to house and did that as well. As Christians, we are to preach the truth, never backing down from the word. What the Bible says is a sin, period. There's no gray area. If he says it's a sin, it's a sin. If someone's not living the life they should as Christians, we need to preach them the truth. We. Not me. We. We need to preach them the truth. We might step on some toes, but that's okay. As long as we are doing it in the loving way, like I mentioned earlier. So we have to preach the truth. We can't pick and choose. We can't take our Bible and scribble some of it out. Now, I don't agree with that. This is his word, his total word. Whether we like some of it or not, it is what it is. That's exactly right. That is our directions on how we should live our life. So another thing we can learn from Paul here is live a life of boldness. Be bold. Don't be scared to preach, to tell people what says in that word. If we were not supposed to say it, it wouldn't be here. So you have to live boldly. Live a life of boldness. We have to live a life unafraid. We must do what God asks us to do. Most times it's going to be out of our comfort zone. Most times it's going to be listening for the Spirit to guide you, telling you to go talk to that person that's sitting at the table by themselves, or going to somebody in church that you don't really talk to that you can tell is having a hard time. Get out of your comfort zone. There's no substitute for the personal work that goes along with ministry. And I'm not talking about ministry as a pastor. I'm talking about all of us. There's no substitute. Just what other kind is there anyway if it's not personal work? You know, being a Christian is about being personal. It's not a business. It's not where you sit in the office and punch a computer and make things happen. You have to be personal. Only with face-to-face, person-to-person contact with souls who would be one for God can there be the development of ties of brotherhood and sisterhood and affection, which so clearly distinguish the relationship between Paul and his converts. That's exactly what Paul did. By preaching and then going to house, he had that face-to-face, person-to-person. So if we build up our churches where we go out and visit, then we will be more personable, and we will be able to reach others, and we will be able to grow the kingdom. So let's continue. Verse 22, Paul knows there's trouble ahead, so here's what he says. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me. So Paul didn't know what was ahead, but he knew something was going to happen. He didn't know what kind of trouble, but he knew he was going into something that was not going to be good. He just gave it all over to God, and he went regardless. He went anyway. There should always be more Christians that say, none of these things will move me. And that's basically what Paul was saying. We should think that way. We should say, it doesn't matter what's coming ahead. Nothing's going to move me. Nothing's going to stop me. But a lot of times, what do? I'm not qualified. I can't do that. Nope, God, not me. Run the other way. Put those blinders on. You guys have heard me do the blinder thing, but I can't do it with my mic. But, we just don't do it. But we need to be, none of these things are going to move me. I'm going to continue toward God. Uncertainty did not move Paul. Even though he was not knowing the things that was going to happen, he still continued. So here we can learn from him, live a life committed regardless. Live a life committed regardless. You know, again, he didn't know particularly the things that were going to happen to him in Jerusalem. He knew there was trouble, but he didn't know what circumstances or to what degree. You know, God didn't reveal that to him. And I think about the many times that God doesn't reveal things to me, and I'm glad. You know, if we knew what was coming ahead, what would we do? We probably wouldn't continue going forward. I know I wouldn't. I would turn around and run the other way. So it's a good thing that God doesn't always tell us. But we just have to have faith. And that's what Paul had. Paul had faith, and he knew that regardless of what was coming, that God was with him, and it would all be okay. Again, he doesn't know the storm that he had ahead of him, but he knew that the Holy Spirit would be with him, and that he would not be alone. All Christians must expect and prepare for sufferings. Again, he didn't know what was ahead, and he had a reason to believe it was going to be bad just because of everything else that had gone on. But that didn't trouble him. You know, he kept on going. He just gave it all to God and had faith that everything would work out. And that's the way that we should be. You know, even when God's asking us to do something, and even when we know that something's coming up that we think is going to be really tough, I don't know about you, but 9 times out of 10, I hype it up a lot more than it is. And it usually doesn't end up as bad as I think it will be, because God's already gone before me and he's already worked it out. So we must, as Christians, like I mentioned earlier, none of these things will move me. We need to keep that in our brain. None of these things will move me. We just have to keep going forward. So verse 23, Paul tells us, "Except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead." You know, Paul recognized the dangerous road ahead of him because the Holy Spirit told him. Jail and suffering. If we knew we were going to jail, would we do it? Are you willing to go to jail for God? I mean, that's basically what he was being told here. So are you willing to do that? Paul was not set off track by danger. He was willing to lay down his life for the gospel. And Paul continued doing what God called him to do. He was warned, but he continued anyway. He continued doing what God wanted him to do. So something else we can learn, live a life following the Holy Spirit's direction. And a lot of times we want to follow our own direction. But we easily get caught up in what we want and not what God wants. So here, Paul knew that he was going to be going city after city and that he was going to suffer and be in jail, but he continued anyway. Uncertainty did not move Paul. Even though he did not know what was going to happen, he knew that jail and suffering was going to happen, but he didn't let it move him. He continued. He recognized the dangerous road ahead, but yet he did not get off track. He just continued. He was willing to lay his life down for God. Can you say that? Can you say, "I am willing to lay my life down for God"? We don't know till we're actually put up to it, like, you know, when somebody comes to you and asks you, but I don't know. I hope I would be. You know, as I grow, I become stronger and stronger in that, but it's hard. That's a hard question to think about. But are you willing to lay your life down? We should all be willing to lay our life down for God. Are you willing to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit? That's another hard thing. We get off track and we think, oh, I know what's best. Just you need to listen and let the Holy Spirit direct you. Let's continue. Verse 24. "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." So Paul's ministry was to bring Jesus' offering of forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God to the Gentiles. This is the gospel, the good news of the grace that God offers sinners. That Jesus came, he took accountability for our sins, he died in our place, and rose glorified so that we, too, could be resurrected, glorified, and cleansed of our sins. So to Paul, his life is nothing compared to the mission of sharing the gospel. And just like our life is nothing, we should do whatever we have to do for God. We should share the gospel. That's our mission. That's everybody's mission. Now, there's different ways to do that. But we should share the gospel. And Paul, you know, he had death on his mind. He knew at some point he would die. He didn't know how long it would be, but he knew at some point he was going to die for spreading the gospel and telling others about God. But he considered that what he did with his life was worth dying for. And in the words of Charles Spurgeon, he preached a gospel worth dying for. Preached the gospel worth dying for. Is the gospel that you're preaching worth dying for? Or is it cold? Is it mediocre? You know, is your preaching worth dying for? So another thing we can learn from Paul is live a life that is working toward the task God has given you. He's given each of us the task of preaching the word. Each of us. And so we have to be willing to die for that. We have to be willing to do whatever it takes. You'll not feel like you're living a meaningful life unless you live your life with a specific purpose that God designed you to have. And I've talked about it before, and Nathan mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but we all have this void in our life that only God can fill. And so you can continue doing whatever you think is making your life meaningful, whether that be making a lot of money, whether that means building a brand new house, whether that means driving a BMW, and some of you know my story about BMWs, not very favorable, but anyway. But whatever makes you happy, whatever makes you think you have this meaningful life, it's not going to fit in that circle that's only supposed to be filled by God. So unless you're doing what God wants you to do, unless you're letting God live in your life, you're never going to be living that meaningful life that he wants you to. The things that we can learn from Paul about living a meaningful life are very important. Everything that he did, he lived a wonderful life and he touched many people and started many churches. You know, all of that is very important. But we should strive every day to live a life that points people to Jesus. That's what we should do. Regardless of where you are, if you're in the grocery store, if you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off, you still should be pointing people to Jesus. But before that can happen, the primary and most important element to a meaningful life is a personal relationship with God. You have to have an ongoing, growing relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Without connecting with God in a personal and intimate way, every day of your life, you will be missing out on the joy that's available to you. You're going to be missing out on what the true meaning of life is. According to Scripture, you can be rich or you can be poor, you can be hungry or you can be well fed. But without Christ, you will not have a meaningful life. Paul tells us in Philippians 4, 12 through 13, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So the key to living a meaningful life is God. There's no other way around it. Everything starts and ends with him. Billy Graham once said, there comes a moment when we almost realize that life is short. And in the end, the only thing that really counts is not how others see us, but how God sees us. I love that quote. I love Billy Graham. So how are you living your life? As we have seen this week, life is short and unpredictable. We're not promised the next second, the next hour, the next day. So we should live every single day with God and for God. You should live your life in such a meaningful way that others want it. Like they want to come up to you and say, why are you different? Why are you acting that way? What makes you go through these valleys and still come out smiling on the other side? You need to live your life in such a way that people want to understand your secret. And that secret should be God. And if we're not, now we all have days. I have days. I get it. But we should be so different that they want to understand and know what is the difference. Are you living your life in such a way that all people see is Jesus? They should just know. You should just, I was going to say have a glow, but there should be something different about you that all they see is Jesus. So again, like I said, I hope all of you are saved, but I have to ask this question. Are you saved? Number one. That's the only way you're going to have a meaningful life, is if you're saved. If you're not, I would love for today to be that day that you decide to change. Because, you know, we're missing somebody today. And we don't know. We don't know. Sorry, I was trying not to get emotional. I was trying to stay out of my head today. But we don't know what our last day is. And I want to know, every single one of you, when you walk out that door, that if I don't see you again, I know where you are. Because I love you. I love every single one of you. I might not have a personal relationship with you, but I love every single one of you. And I want to know that when you walk out that door, that I will see you in heaven. I want to know that. So if you're not saved, if you don't know that you know that you know, please let today be today, the day that you do that. Please let me help you. There's others that will be glad to pray with you and help you. But please let today be that day. You know, we need to live that meaningful life. And the only way to do that is through God. And if you say that you're not saved, we just don't know how long we have. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised next week. We're not promised anything. But I'm begging you, if you're not saved, please talk to somebody before you leave. Because God wants us to be part of his eternity. And he created each of us to love him, to serve him. And he wants you as his. He wants you as his. So please, again, do not leave today without talking to somebody if you're not. It's so very important that you get your life. And this week, again, you know, what kind of life are you living? Are you living that meaningful life? Are you doing what God has wanted you to do? Are you living the gifting that he's given you? Because we all have a gift. It may be speaking. It may be singing. It may be one-on-one ministry. It might be what Caleb is getting ready to start with the praise band. You know, I don't know, but every one of us has a gifting. And you need to be in that relationship with God so that you can live out that. Because your life affects somebody else's. And if you're not saved, then you're not going to be able to live the life that he wants you to live. And you're not going to be able to have that ripple effect that you guys have heard me say a lot. That all of our lives have ripple effects on other people. And so please, 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 let today be the day that you are saved and you change your life for eternity. If all of you will stand.